Are you a Jedi?
A simple man making his way through the galaxy. Like my father before me.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Welcome back to the Simple Man Podcast. My name is Brody. Today we are covering episode 6 of the Book of Boba Fett, From the Desert Comes a Stranger. And also we are joined by one of my good buddies from Instagram. Here we have Jordan, or Star Wars Parody from Instagram. How's it going, man?
It's going great, and it's an absolute pleasure to be on this. And as someone actually left a comment on a post that I put out, just talking about this, and he's like, two goats of Instagram. And you know, if that doesn't put a smile on your face, then I don't know what will today.
Oh, dude, that's awesome. I mean, I'd have to agree on at least one of those goats, because I mean, in terms of, you know, the community and the message that I like to spread in terms of positivity and just having fun, I mean, you sort of are such a great example of that, and somebody who absolutely like is I don't know how you say it, a staple in the community of Star Wars and Instagram for so many years. And it's a pleasure to have you on, man. I'm so excited to actually, like, I don't know if this is the first time we've actually talked in person, like in person, you know?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
I mean, yes. I feel like we've done a live stream before together, but maybe not. I don't
or,
know.
I don't, maybe voice notes or something.
Maybe yeah, that's it. Yeah. But it's weird. It's so weird how Instagram works, you know, just a little bit of background. I mean, we've, you know, been following each other for like since you started 5+ years ago. And I mean,
yeah,
we've been in contact, you know, for all those years. And it's definitely awesome to get to talk to you. And I'm excited to talk Boba with you. I know you really like this episode that we're going to talk about. So yeah. I'm excited to have that point of view. So, well, is there anything you want to plug before we get into the episode?
I just hope that those who watch this can leave their own thoughts underneath, and how they find it, and just talk about that, and just hope that they enjoy the points that we talk about, and hopefully we can cover it all in general. And of course, anyone who's came here from my page to see this, listen to this, and just go follow you. Officially
on,
Star
man.
Wars.
No, go.
And as
go
you say, no. You were speaking about my page and about the positivity, but also from your perspective, you were one of the first people I seen put your page on a personal level, where you put yourself on the page. Mm-hmm. And for me, like, you were literally, I'm pretty sure, the first I seen do that. Mm-hmm. And that kind of paved the way where I was kind of like, okay, this doesn't have to be a faceless thing.
Yeah.
So again, I thank you for that. And again, Mike on Star Wars, he was great for that as well.
Yeah.
So no, you're definitely a goat of Instagram. And
I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
We're two old dogs now, so we are of it.
Yeah, we're like the veterans, and we've got all these young bucks coming up trying to steal all our engagement. But no, I appreciate that, man. I really do. And yeah, shout out Mike from All Star Wars, because he's definitely the third goat, if there's a third one. So
no disrespect to everybody else, but
yeah,
everybody I had the time, and
except that one guy, Star Wars Theater. No, I'm just kidding. No. Well, all right, man. So before we get into episode 6, I do want to hear, like, what were you just like your overall thoughts on, you know, the Book of Boba Fett as the series closed, and how did you feel just after it ended?
Well, it's a bit mix and match. You feel like some episodes were really a slow burner, mm-hmm. which inadvertently were the Boba Fett episodes.
Yeah.
That they kind of went a bit slow, but it was needed. It, as we know with most Star Wars media, they do take it a bit slow.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of it was necessarily filler. I think they all conjoined the story in the end. Mm-hmm. I did enjoy the series. Like I say, I don't really have a lot of criticisms of it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just points that we didn't get to see, as we'll talk about in this episode, things that we didn't get to see if they were going to show what they did show.
Yeah.
But I think just in general, the show being called The Book of Boba Fett, the book, that part is really important, because mm-hmm. it depends how you interpret it. And the way I interpreted that was, a book has different chapters, and in those chapters it can focus on different characters. But it's also thinking, are the general audience going to understand that or going to see that? And I don't think in general as a widespread no. Like, it's the same with me. If I just looked at that title, I wouldn't be thinking that.
Yeah.
But it is seemingly what it meant. And I think that's kind of where I lost a few people. But the episodes that didn't focus on Boba were some of the best Star Wars media content I've ever seen.
Yeah. They're great. I think, like you're saying, for more of a general audience who might not be used to the way like Star Wars shows work, in a sense, with Clone Wars and Rebels, where you just have tangent episodes where they completely go off with random characters because people want to see the world building of that time period, you know? And I mean, while it is the Book of Boba Fett and it is centered around Boba Fett, those characters in that time period are obviously having a play in this story. And I do see people's qualms with it. And I do get it was a hard left turn all of a sudden with episode five. You know, we see Mando come out. It's all Mando all of a sudden, and Boba Fett's not even in these two episodes, really. It is interesting. So I do agree, though, like each individual episode of Book of Boba Fett on its own is really, really good. It's just the way it sort of all, you know, culminates together. But yeah, this episode specifically, I mean, I don't think there's another piece of Star Wars that really combines so many different aspects of Star Wars. Like, we've got characters from the Clone Wars and characters from like Rebel ties and the Book of Boba Fett ties and Mandalorian ties, all these shows like sort of coming together, and they're all working, you know, and like it makes sense, which is really cool to me. So I mean, yeah, I really enjoyed it overall, but I do agree it's a sort of per episode basis that each episode on its own I feel like would get an 80 to 90% at least from me. But when you go for the overall series, you're kind of like, well, it's maybe like a 7.5.
Yeah, I think the main problem was Boba had just come back.
Mm-hmm.
He had just come back.
Yeah.
And everybody wanted to see what he was about. You've seen a wee bit of it in The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
What we really seen in The Mandalorian was that ruthless Boba, that mm-hmm. Boba everyone's used to. That is what we've seen.
Yeah.
And then in the Book of Boba Fett, what we were going to discover was his personality. Who was Boba as a person? Now, we've seen, just even from our own pages and the engagement there, that some people did not like the way he was, you know, without the mask. But for them to extend on this character, if they were going to keep him the same way as what everyone knew him, this just killer behind a mask, yeah, you would have just had a bit more of a hardened version of Din Djarin. It would have really been the same thing. But I do understand that we're trying to dive into this character, and we're not, like, for two of the episodes, he's not even there.
Yeah.
Like, literally, he doesn't, even in episode 6, where he turns up for a wee bit, basically says, like, one thing, and that's it. And you're like,
yeah,
I want to know Boba Fett. This is an iconic character. This isn't just some side character. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is, in terms of Star Wars, yes, you're like, this is a guy, like, who's high on the side. But in terms of Star Wars fans, you're like, even those who don't watch Star Wars likely know Boba Fett.
Yeah, or at least recognize him, yeah.
Yeah, and you're like, we want to know, like, as much as we can. We want to see him as much as we can. And you just feel like even in scenes we did see him, it wasn't quite enough sometimes. We had this amazing building with the Tusken Raiders.
Yeah.
And then they died.
Yeah.
They died, and you're like,
yeah,
right. And that kind of, it was slow and then just went up on a slope. And you're like,
yeah.
And it would have been interesting, I think, to have introduced a character who came in episode 6, Cad Bane, just a little bit earlier, especially given their history together. Yeah. And I think that would have very much helped Boba Fett's character develop even more so in his own show. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying if there's a season 2, pretty sure it's there is, that he'll be developed greatly, or even in The Mandalorian, or honestly, at this point, it's goodness knows what show, because we know they're tying them all in.
Yeah.
For this wee time period, but he could be expanded on so greatly, and you're like, oh, now this all makes sense. But it's more of a case on in today's how people watch TV, and you see that first season, you're like, you know, we're happy to see Boba. At the same time, though, you want actual development. We had sad Boba, and then you have Boba who just wanted to go out and kill people, but we didn't really get much of like this guy talking about his past.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, like, I was definitely struggling with like the motivations, like until sort of like maybe the last couple episodes, maybe even the finale. I was like, why does he want to be the guy on Tatooine? I didn't really get that. Like, why would he want to come back? And I get it with the Tusken Raiders and everything. He has sort of a reason to like Tatooine or want to develop it and grow it, you know? But to me, I was like, this is where he almost died. Like, why would he want to come back here? They didn't really like flesh into exactly like how he was feeling and how they just like went so fast through it. And where I feel like the first four episodes were pretty great in terms of combining those two stories, the flashback and the current day. All of a sudden, once those stopped, the story seemed to just sort of like go everywhere with Mandalorian and Grogu. It was interesting. So
a part that, you know, would have been nice to have fleshed out was Cad Bane said Boba Fett was a cold-blooded killer who worked for the Empire.
Yeah.
But we didn't really get that sense from Boba at any point in time, nor did we get anyone else talking about it. Why is Cad Bane isn't exactly a nice guy. Why is he saying this dude's a cold-blooded killer who worked for the Empire? And
I think he's trying to gaslight a little bit there, but
yeah, no, I think he is for sure. But we also now have this whole thing of what was he doing?
Yeah.
And in terms of character explaining for the Book of Boba Fett, I would argue that the two episodes that included the Mandalorian would have been season three, episode 1 and 2 for the Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And instead of that, you would have been able to develop Cad Bane a little bit more, because he is a character who directly just ties into Boba Fett.
Yeah.
He helped train him, and then you have the whole unfinished business in the Clone Wars arc and stuff like that.
Right.
And you're like, if you're going to go into anywhere, developing Cad Bane in the sense also develops Boba Fett, because you can see during this Imperial time what they were both doing, and I could maybe explain why.
Yeah.
Because we never really got why was Boba Fett working with the Empire during all this time, because he doesn't seem like a bad guy.
Yeah.
And that's the confusion there. You can say, yes, he's got old. I mean, Cad Bane says you've gone soft in your old age. Yeah. And he's like, well, we all do. And I was like, I think that's the explanation, right? But I was like, it's probably not just that. And there is that realization of being left for dead and thinking like, what do I have? What have I done?
Mm-hmm.
In the sense of all of this. And then he gets that sense of family again. So he does. And then he loses them as well.
Right.
But even in the end, he doesn't stay. And in the end, we know that it's like he's going to give it to Cobb Vanth. We know he's going to give the town over to Cobb Vanth. That's what it's set up for. And it's like, why? What was the whole season? What was the whole purpose of the season for Boba Fett? And I just being like, you know what? I'm not correct for this at all. Like, it was basically, it's too nice.
Right. And that just kind of goes back to, like I said, like those first few episodes, probably 1 through 4 of the episodes, it really felt like a deep dive into Boba, and it was getting deep into why he would do stuff. And then all of a sudden it was just like, okay, crossing paths into present day. So we need to just like run with it and distract you with Mando. So then we can come back, and then Boba's just doing his thing, you know? So I don't know. Yeah. I do agree though. Cad Bane should have showed up at least in some form earlier on in the season in a flashback or some sort of capacity to at least make people who aren't Clone Wars fans go, oh, this is a guy who Boba doesn't like. So when he comes back, there's going to be some serious rivalry, you know? So,
yeah, I think it was the best show to introduce any bounty hunter during that era. And I feel like there was a lot of missed opportunities to bring in some from the comics and stuff like Bosk, and then Dengar is still like there floating about. And to be honest, Dengar is really funny in the media that he's been
played
in. And you're like, I'd like to see that transaction to live action.
Yeah.
Embo, you know, you have fan favorites tonight. I can't much complain because CMBK has loved it. And given that I'm a big comic book fan and seeing him, I knew it straight away when I seen the armor and the walk up, and I literally yelled it out when he came on the screen. And those are the moments I live for as a fan, and the show done that numerous times to me.
Yeah.
So it did, where it got me up on my feet and I was pointing at my screen and I felt like I was a child again.
Yeah.
Being like, that's such and such, or like hands on head. I was like, I can't believe that's happening.
That is such a good point. And I think that's a point that people miss when they go back to like review everything and they want to get critical about it. And sort of like we're doing here, you know, we're bringing up positives and negatives, but in that moment when I'm watching it, there's only excitement now. And like, I, like you said, I feel like a little kid, and it gives me like that. I mean, I wake up, so I'll get 4 hours of sleep that night so I can watch it, you know? And like, I'm a grown person who has to go to work and everything, and I've got responsibilities, but like, Star Wars is that motivating and that exciting that it makes me not even care about, you know, how much sleep I get. So that part is something that, like, no matter what they deliver, and, you know, when you're looking back on the season, how good or bad it was, that part of it to me is worth it all. You know, it's making you feel young and making you feel like a kid. That's what Star Wars is supposed to be. So they're still doing it.
That's why we watch it. And, we're talking about work. I work with a guy, a very good friend, but he leaves before me, a couple of hours before me. So he's a Star Wars fan, so he is, and he would go home and he would get to watch the content before me. So what he would do is he would message me being like, you're going to have a lot of work to do, because he knows I make content. And he's like, you're going to have a lot of work to do because there's so much content in this. And I'd be sitting there being like, I got to get home now. And I'm sitting there in work thinking, he doesn't spoil it or anything. And I was like, what's he thinking about? And I remember for episode 6, he was like, you're going to have more content than you did for episode 5. And I was like, there's no way. I was like, I spent so many hours making content for that episode 5. There were so many posts I had made.
Yeah.
I must have made over 15 posts for one episode.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, no. He goes, I'm telling you, you're going to have more to make. And then watching episode 6, and as I was saying to you, I watched it today again, just to re-jog out my mind, and just every couple of minutes, just a smile on my face. And I was like, that actually happened. And just remembering the amount of characters, as you were saying, that came in just to this one episode.
It's amazing.
It is mind-boggling. And I'm like, I can't believe they done that. I can't believe they sat there, the storyboard team, and been like, we're going to do this. And they're sitting there thinking, we're actually going to do this.
Yeah.
We're going to bring this. Like, it was... At the start, you had Cobb Vanth.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there for me, I was like, cool. Like, I'm glad to see him. I was waiting for him to turn up again. Yep, so I was.
Me too.
And he's typical, he's your gunslinger. So he is.
Yeah.
And he's your cowboy. He's like, that's what he is. You know, Din Djarin doesn't, he's like, I can't really describe Din. I wouldn't describe him as a cowboy. You know, I think
he's more, he's more reserved and more,
he's your silent, deadly type. So he is.
Right.
Like, he'll be nice to you.
Cobb Vanth's like the suave kind of, you know, walk in the saloon and all the ladies are turning to look at him, and, you know,
perfect hair. So he does. Exactly. It's all white. It's perfect. So it is. And he's stone cold when he has those, the shootouts. And when they go to get their blasters, and he goes, think about it.
Yeah.
Such a good line. Just think about it. Like, just think about what you're about to do. And there's four of them, and they just stop. And you're like,
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to getting more of Cobb Vanth. But at the start of that episode, I'm sitting there thinking, episode 6, maybe we're staying here, and maybe this is where he comes into the story a bit more.
Right.
But then all of a sudden, that's when we do the jump.
Right. Yeah, so I mean, let's get into this episode. We Cobb Vanth, I mean, right away, he steals the show for me. I absolutely loved Cobb Vanth in The Mandalorian. Probably one of my favorite characters of the new era of Star Wars, honestly, like that has been created by Disney. I absolutely love Cobb Vanth and the way that he had Boba's armor and everything. That's so cool. But yeah, like we said, he's this cowboy, and we see him with a little run-in with the pikes. He's protecting his territory. I love how he goes, he says something like, from over there to over there, that's my, this is my territory, you know. So that was pretty cool.
Even when he takes the spice,
yeah,
and I guess worth more than your whole time, he doesn't even try and sell it.
Yeah,
for, he doesn't even try and like be like, I'll give you this, you give me money, I'll give it to my people.
Right,
the whole motive there is he doesn't want it to be out there, full stop, and he just leaves it there.
Right,
and it's a clear indication of the character's morals.
Yeah,
which shows he is a good leader.
Yeah, and also just hits on that theme of honor, I think, of the whole series.
Yeah,
we're finding these honorable characters along this way that are, you know, on the surface they might look a certain way, they might do things that are in that moment that are bad or scary or whatever. Like Black Chrysanthemum, at first he's a bad character, you know, he's fighting Boba, he's trying to kill him or whatever, but by the end we realize that he's just doing things to, you know, make his way, and he hasn't found like a reason to not be bad. In a sense, they find these reasons to be good and to be honorable. And I mean, Cobb Vanth is just a perfect example of that. I love him, dude.
I think when, as you're just actually pointing out honorable, and I'm sitting there just thinking about the characters, it's almost like every single one of them.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like you have Boba, you have Fennec, Ahsoka, Luke, Din, and Cobb Vanth. Cad Bane is probably, it could be questionable.
Yeah.
But from what we know, again, as you say, it's the same as Black Chrysanthemum. When he's paid, like, he is honorable to that job, like is him, and it makes sense in a show with Boba Fett,
right?
You know, even seeing from Jango Fett, and from what we have seen of him, he was filled with honor, like that was him. Right. It was the same with clone troopers as well, and then hence why some of them figured out about the chip, because they realized it wasn't them. But when you talk about honor, that's what this show was really focusing on, I think.
Right.
For the most part, and then bring it together as a family. Mm-hmm. Some of these characters.
These characters, all of them are in that same boat, like you're saying. They're like loners in a sense who, you know, I love that about Star Wars, that found family theme. And you know, all these characters come together to form something that is actually going to do something good for Tatooine. And that's pretty cool. I think I didn't even really realize that maybe until we just started talking about it, the fact that all those characters are in that same sort of place and Boba is the one that's bringing them together, which is just so cool. I mean, that makes Boba important to me. He wasn't really, he was just a dude before. Now he's like a family man, which is cool.
Yeah.
So we see Cobb Vanth, you know, leave the spice, he's not about that life. And then we cut to, which I was really surprised by this, I was nowhere even close to expecting it to go this far. Din pulling up to this, you know, watery green planet, and obviously he's going to see his little buddy or try and find him. And you know, he lands and R2-D2's right there to greet him, which I just, there's something about R2 that, I mean, he just shows up on screen and it just like fills me with so much love and joy to see him just like do his little shake. And he guides Mando and, you know, sort of leads him to an area where all these droids are building a Jedi temple or Jedi hut to some degree, which I thought was really cool. Those were pretty interesting. I call them like ant droids because, you know, they're...
Yeah.
That might actually be what they were called. I'm not sure, but those are pretty cool. I thought that was a cool, unique, like little thing that they added in there. They build Din a little bench.
Yeah, and then he slowly realizes that's for me, right? That bench is for me.
Yeah.
No one will speak to me. There's no one here. And I was when I was watching it earlier, I was just thinking, you know, so it was confirmed there obviously later on that this is the same temple from the one in The Last Jedi,
right?
Or The Force Awakens flashback. No, it was The Last Jedi, wasn't it? And The Force Awakens, there's two flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there thinking, Din Djarin was one of the first people to see that.
Yeah, that's like, so cool.
Just connecting those two. I'm like, Din Djarin, I'm not even going to get into Ahsoka yet, but both of them were two of the first people to see this temple, these two characters. Like,
that's so cool.
Actually clock that from all the way back then, and you'd be sitting there thinking, who were the type of people that Luke had in his corner? Who did he know? Who was there to help with the temple, or who's seen it?
And right. Like,
if we've already just got these two characters, who else is out there? And it's the same with the students and stuff like that, with Goku being the first so-called student at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting there, like, we talk about the episode, just him pulling up and just seeing this wee temple. I'm sitting there thinking, that's all, like, it's just amazing. And I obviously, how we see it then is right from the bottom. Like, he must have, what, been only a couple of days into it at most. And then it's just arrived. And as you say about R2, R2's just, he's probably the best droid in Star Wars.
Yeah.
I know it's opinionated.
Yeah. Oh,
I know like it's opinion, but overall, in terms of everything, it's R2.
Yeah.
So it is. And that is why I think he gets this, looks like, because R2's like a, he's like a loyal dog.
Yeah.
I love dogs. Is. So that's an absolute compliment that I'm giving him.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
So when you see him, you get all excited. So you do.
And he's a loyal dog who, like, saves the galaxy at the same time. Like, he's one of the biggest heroes in Star Wars. So.
I was going to say that. And also, he certainly fights half the galaxy at the same time. And I think I would have liked to have seen him and Luke interact a wee bit more. But I do think maybe down the line we may end up getting a Luke series anyway with... especially if they're trying to get all that technology on them, and you know, for the most part, it has worked. But as you say, just pulling up, and I'm sitting there thinking, why are we seeing this now? I thought that we weren't going to see Din here till season three, episode one of The Mandalorian.
I thought
that was it, and then he pulls up, and I'm like, we're going to see some stuff here. Like, you're not going to tell me we're going to see Luke. There's no way we're going to see Luke, and it. When I got there and I seen R2 and I was like, it's happening. Like, this episode's going to be insane. And we didn't even got a couple of minutes in. And then next scene with Luke and Goku just sitting there and they were meditating.
Yep.
And we get a wee taste of where Goku is. And he's still his same old self.
Yep.
Trying to get
little goofy.
The wee frog. And he's trying to, and then Luke's just like, dude, come on, like, he's just gonna come on. And then it feels like a Yoda and Luke moment.
Oh, it did.
Reversed.
Yeah.
And he's just showing him, like, you can grab one. Like, that's like when Luke was getting the stones on Dagobah, and Yoda's like, but look what I can do. Just when you have a wee bit of focus, and Luke's just like, a wee bit of, and then he looks at, wee Grogu, he looks at his hand, and he's like, how did you do that? And you're sitting there thinking, like, this Luke Skywalker is just so different.
Yeah.
I feel like from episode 6, you still kind of had like this bit of a rash kid there who was still trying to understand things. And then, you could see the maturity in him and an acceptance. I think it was the acceptance part that really helped the maturity in him. But here you're like, this is wise. This is a wise Luke Skywalker. And I want to know more about that. I want to know even how he got to that stage.
Yeah. Star Wars does this such an interesting thing. Like we were talking about the Jedi Temple, of how we've seen it in the movies and the sequels, it being destroyed basically. And then now we're seeing it at the beginning of when it's being built. And there is so much to fill in there. And I mean, similar to just everything, how it jumps around the story, there's so much to fill in about how Luke, you know, sort of became that way. And I hope we do get to see more of that, but I totally agree. I loved how Luke's demeanor was, and people said it was robotic because of the technology and everything, but I think that's sort of how Luke would have became when he dove deep into his Jedi-ness. You know, he's calm and collected, and he's also in training mode too. He's trying to be serious with Grogu and everything like that. Like, so I mean, how did you feel about Luke and how the CGI and the way he sounded?
I think he looked a lot better than he did in The Mandalorian.
He looked almost perfect. Like,
in The Mandalorian, I didn't have a complaint. I didn't.
Yeah, neither.
I had absolutely no complaint here. Now, I understand when people are like a bit robotic, technology can do so much, so
yeah.
It can.
Yeah.
But as you were talking there about how Luke would speak and how his demeanor would be, in my head, I'm remembering Luke in Battlefront 2 when he encounters Delmico. And his demeanor there, and he's like, why did you help me? And he's just so calm.
He's so calm, yeah.
Like, there's
I'm so glad you just brought that up, Battlefront 2. Like, that is the same character. It's the same character, which is awesome.
Yeah, it's Luke, while we know Luke to be this guy who runs on emotions like Anakin was, at this point, this Luke Skywalker has complete control of his emotions.
Yeah.
At this point, this isn't talking about the sequels.
Right.
At this point, he has control of his emotions. And for me, I'm like, that is why maybe sometimes it doesn't convey over to the voice in terms of chronologically speaking, not technology speaking.
Right.
But in terms of in Star Wars, because he has complete control. Mm-hmm. So what the presence he gives is this of calmness, is this of peace, but also this of someone who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Someone who you want to listen to, and how they made him look, I'm sitting there thinking, it's insane. And as we were speaking, that I do think maybe down the line there will be a show. And if I'm thinking that, for me, it worked. I thought it worked amazingly well. And I
would watch a whole show. I'd watch a whole show of it, you know. So
definitely, even if it was just him going out to find students,
right?
Which would make it even more heart-wrenching, knowing his Jedi Temple gets destroyed. Yeah. But that's Star Wars in another nutshell, so it is, where it does this to you. But I thought he was really good, and I thought the voice was really good, and how he looked, his clothing and stuff like that. And I was like, you looked out, that's Luke Skywalker. That's what I was like, that is Luke Skywalker.
This is prime Luke Skywalker, like everybody's always wanted. And we've only gotten, you know, just a few things with Mando in this episode with him. But this is prime Luke for real. Like you said, Return of the Jedi Luke, that's him getting to his prime right there, you know. And then obviously the sequels is 25 plus years later. People change over time. He's got a nephew. Yeah. He's had other experiences, you know, that lead to what happens. But I mean, like you said, I didn't have a problem with it in Mando. And that look is definitely nowhere close to as good as this look of Luke. And he was actually in the episode this time and had a lot of talking parts and a lot of screen time. And I mean, dude, I really did not have a problem with it. And seeing him, the parts that really got me were when they're going through the forest and everything, him and Grogu, they're doing like these little training bits of him with the lightsaber, just that one little move that he does with the lightsaber. Oh my God. I watched that little clip so many times because it was Luke like in his prime doing that. And then, you know, this is a little bit later, but you know, Grogu in his backpack jumping through the forest. Oh yes. My, like just like Luke and Yoda. Like, I mean, there's just
like that.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was like that DiCaprio meme. So it was, you see them training, and straight away, and they're pointing. I'm like, I've seen this before. So I have, and I'm like, and people talk about fan service. That's fine. I'm a fan.
Yeah,
I am being serviced. I'm like, if it makes sense to the story, I'm like, I'm all for it. I know sometimes things didn't need to really add him in doing that. They didn't need to add in the lightsaber part, but we're watching this, and as Star Wars fans, and they're sitting there thinking, these fans have been crying out for Luke Skywalker content at this age. Give them a lightsaber scene.
Yeah.
Give them a scene where he's running through the place and it's
exactly
talking back, or even when he talks back to Yoda and they make it work, and he's like, used to speak in riddles. Do you know anyone who speaks in riddles back in your home place and stuff like that? And you're like,
it's so good. It's so good.
So perfectly.
Yeah. And I mean, the whole dialogue between them is so good because one, Grogu's not saying anything and it's just Luke sort of having a conversation with him, but it's just somehow they made it so Luke and Yoda. And like you said, the inverse of that, where now Luke is teaching this little Yoda. And I mean, it's corny, but it's beautiful. Like, it's a beautiful moment of like for Star Wars fans. And it literally, just talking about it, like, just makes me so giddy. And like, I feel like a little kid, and I feel like I'm never gonna stop wanting to feel like that. So I love that. And you know, we go into a little flashback scene with Grogu, we get a little bit more of that, which is, I mean, again, it's this mashing of all these eras together. Now we're seeing a flashback of clone troopers in Order 66. We're getting another Order 66 moment that they're trying to crush us with. And I mean,
I never feel
incredible, right?
When I was watching it and I seen the reflection in his eyes, I literally was just sat up. I sat up and I was like, you're not going to do that.
Yeah.
You're not going to give us that flashback scene. And then when you seen the clone troopers, I was like, it is as your seat stuff where I'm sitting there thinking, I can't believe it. I can't believe like I'm going to see this again. And I don't think it'll be the last time. I think he'll have another flashback in season 3 of The Mandalorian and we will see who saved him. But like, you're watching the Book of Boba Fett. Did you think you were going to get an Order 66 flashback in a Jedi temple?
No.
Like, no absolutely not. You're like, these guys, like, I am lost for words even now.
Yeah. Can
I explain it? Yeah. And even just how detailed it was, how amazing the clone troopers looked.
Yeah.
Like, I know it was, I'm pretty sure it was CGI'd in.
Yeah.
So it was, but I'm still like, I'm okay with that. I'm like, they look amazing. So they do. They look amazing. And the Jedi, as everyone's always wants to know, who were they? Mm-hmm. Obviously, the theories have been out there. I think the most theory is
Syndralig,
and I'm like, I'm pretty sure it wasn't him. For
it looked like a woman,
I know. And then obviously the crest that was on the door and stuff like that,
right,
could have belonged to Barriss Offee and all. And so that's what they do, though. That's they ask questions and then that's how to get people engaged in it even more so. But I'm sitting there thinking, like, I thought for a second that we were going to see something to do with his home world.
Yeah.
And then looks like you want to remember, I'll help you. And then when we go over there, I'm just like, it is amazing. Because you think from The Mandalorian, you got battle droids, super battle droids. And then here you have clone troopers.
Yeah.
And two shows that don't really have much to do with back then in terms of the era they're in.
Just a little tiny bit, you know, going back there. And one thing I was feeling with this episode and the previous episode as well is they're just doing it now. They're not trying to like beat around the bush as much anymore with being afraid to show Luke and being afraid to put Ahsoka with Luke. And like, those are things that I really feel like they were so nervous to do before because they just really didn't know how to do it or how to make it work. And they didn't know if people would like it. But now that like this episode specifically just feels like, we're in Star Wars. We have all these elements in this exact time period. And this is how it worked. And this is the story. And Cad Bane is still alive and he's still fighting Boba and Luke is here and I really hate how, not hate, but I started to not like how when you put all these stories in the same era, I think before A New Hope specifically, now we've got all these characters right there who like aren't interacting with each other, who are just going like this sort of, and then it all leads up to A New Hope where none of them are. There's none of them in A New Hope, like all the Rebels characters, Ahsoka, you know.
Yeah.
I like how they're like, this story is one story and we're all it's going to like mesh together.
As you were saying there, you know, I think the fact that they changed over was a case of, right, we have Luke, we have Ahsoka. Why are we still using these as like one-time surprise characters?
Right, exactly.
That's not what they are. These are main core characters in this story. Exactly. And they're like, let's face it, this story can go anywhere. And it can, most stories in Star Wars can include a Jedi.
Yeah.
Like, it's what Star Wars is made for, Jedi, typically, and Sith and stuff like that. And I think it was almost just a decision, but like, you know what? Like, we're actually going to use these characters, especially with Ahsoka's show, that made sense, bringing her into the fold. And at this stage, if you're bringing in Ahsoka, though, you have to ask, what about Luke?
Right.
Like, Ahsoka's out there, what about Luke? And and even so, as we're talking about Ahsoka, just seeing her in this episode, as Den just wakes up from the bench, points a blaster at her, and he's like, I didn't expect to see you here. And I'm sitting there thinking, I also didn't expect to see her there either.
Right.
And you're like, wait, does Ahsoka know Luke? Like, we all knew Ahsoka knew Luke Skywalker. We know this because...
Yes, they have to. They have to, right?
Yeah. But we're like, at this point, we're like, wait, like, is this the moment? Like, and she's like, yeah, no, I knew you would come, basically. And
yeah,
R2, and you get that moment of Ahsoka and R2, and I'm like, oh my days. I was like, I feel like a wee kid all giddy here. I was like, this is awesome. Just seeing that, and I'm just remembering the Clone Wars times of those two together, and she's like, I'm a friend of the family.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, in a sense, it's almost like she's like an auntie to Luke.
Yeah, she is. Like, she is.
This character who I'm like, you should be watching. I know it sounds weird, but I'm like, you should be watching over Luke.
Yeah.
You know, making sure he doesn't like do anything stupid. And like, that's another thing. Look, like later on, you can see like she's giving Luke advice and all. And I'm like, oh, that's the moment I've waited for.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, to that point though, of, you know, them not being surprise characters, you know, obviously we didn't really expect to see Ahsoka in that episode. But once she was there, she was just like a part of the episode and the story that was there. It wasn't like the whole time, oh my God, Ahsoka's here. And even when she talks to Luke, it just feels normal. Like, it doesn't feel like, oh my God, this moment that we're finally getting of like, and they didn't give us the talk about Anakin, you know, they didn't talk about that. It was just this normal moment where they're talking about Grogu and they're talking about what they should do in that moment. It was just part of the story. And I just love that. I was getting really tired of, you know, like you said, important existing characters that Star Wars fans know, you know, Bo-Katan, Star Wars fans know who Bo-Katan is. Obviously a general audience might not, but we just want them to be a part of the story. We don't need them to be this surprise every single time. So I think we're getting more and more to that point with Star Wars. And I'm really excited for that. Like, with the Kenobi trailer, it seems like we're getting that. Like, we already know that the Inquisitors are going to be involved, and like, they're not like keeping it so secretive in a sense of like, we know it's coming in a sense, and they're building that already. So I like that.
Yeah, I think as you were saying that, when I was watching the trailer, I was like, I can't believe they've revealed the Inquisitors already.
Yeah.
And what that leads me to think then is, that trailer hasn't even touched anything on what the show's actually going to go.
That's like the first episode, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, so them actually dropping the Inquisitors isn't even probably a big deal. But for us as fans, I'm like, that's a big deal. I'm like, this is amazing. You know what I mean?
Spoiler.
And I was like, and I can't wait to see them in the show. But even as going back to the episode here, when we're talking about Ahsoka and Luke and their interaction, I don't think they could have done anything to actually give everybody what they wanted talking about if Ahsoka had a spoke about Anakin to Luke. Right. I don't think there was anything that would have pleased everybody in a sense. Everybody has it in their head. Maybe how it would have went down, or you're just like, Ahsoka would have just talked about Anakin, how it was her master and stuff like that, and things they went through and all. But I was like, I just don't think anything would have been justifiable for it. Like,
yeah,
nothing could have lived up to it, if that makes sense.
Right. I agree. I definitely agree. I see what you're saying, because, and again, it would have just felt like fan service in a way of, I'm getting tired of those moments. Like, you know, I absolutely love Solo, but in Solo, we learn everything about Han and how Han gets to be Han in that 1 2-hour movie. Instead of just having, you know, because it's not a recurring story in a sense, but Ahsoka is going to be a part of Star Wars. Luke is going to be a part of Star Wars. We don't need to cram every emotional bit into one episode. Have these normal moments where it's just Star Wars. And the focus is really more Grogu in this episode, which I really like. And we do see them, Ahsoka and Luke, sort of sitting there talking about Grogu and, you know, what Luke should do with him. And it skips past, but I mean, we can talk about it now. It's so interesting. I love the fact that Luke gave him that choice of, you know, Mando or being a Jedi, you know, and I thought that was very Luke Skywalker, and he didn't want to give Grogu, he didn't want to like pressure him to do something because he knows it's going to lead to a bad result, you know? So I don't know. What did you think about that?
I think when I first seen it come out, I seen a lot of people complaining, saying, doesn't sound like Luke Skywalker, like he's making him choose. And I'm like, no, there's a big difference. He's given him a choice.
Right, yes.
Jedi, the younglings are typically brought to the temple, and that's their life. And that's good. Grogu would have stayed there.
Right.
If Luke hadn't really presented the choice. He probably would have wanted to leave, but he would have stayed there.
Right.
But Luke gave him that freedom of choice, which many younglings don't get. Don't get me wrong, yes, they can leave, but they don't know anything else because they're literally took virtually at birth. So they are.
Yeah.
And it looks like, no, do you know what? You have this chance. Like, that's not what my Jedi Order is going to be about. And we can clearly see that, even just in him training him here, you can see, but he's trying to figure it out as well.
Right.
Like, Ahsoka says Grogu would be his first student.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Luke's first student. This is the very first time Luke has this other Force sensitive across from him who he's calling a Padawan.
Yeah.
So we're also going to see Luke become a teacher. Do you know what I mean? So we haven't seen this aspect of Luke yet, and I don't like whether or not we see it more, but Luke's also trying to learn as well. So we're getting some character development there from Luke, and like straight off the bat, what does he want his Jedi Order to look like? He wants people who are committed.
Mm-hmm.
And just because Grogu chose to go off with Din doesn't mean he's bad. Like Luke basically said, like, if you do this, it's because you're giving into your emotional attachment.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean you're bad. Do you know what I mean? That's okay. It just means like that's not going to work with trying to be a Jedi.
Right.
Because of what he's seen beforehand and what happened with his father and stuff like that. Right. And even himself and his duel with Darth Vader.
Right. And Luke has a more, you know, unique view of how to be a Jedi than the prequel Jedi and the Jedi of that era. You know, he wasn't a Jedi for the first 19 years of his life. He understands what it's like to have that choice. And while Obi-Wan does sort of gaslight him a little bit in A New Hope to like tricking him to come with him, it's still Luke's choice. And he realizes like, this is what I want to do. And this is what I need to do. He wasn't just taken, like you're saying, as a baby and sort of forced to be a Jedi. And I mean, I just think that is so, like you're saying, we're seeing Luke in this first time of this master capacity. And for that to be his first student and him not have any sort of like ego behind it.
Or,
you know, and,
sorry to cut you off.
No.
Emotional connection to Grogu.
Right.
So as we talked about his emotions before.
Right. I feel like Empire Strikes Back Luke or Return of the Jedi early Luke would have been sort of, you know, well, Grogu, you need to do this. And because we, you know, we have to fight the Empire, we have to destroy him. But he realizes that there's a longer plan and there's, you know, he's more mature about it in a sense. And he's not desperate for Grogu to be that person, even though Grogu's obviously like super powerful and could probably end up being the next Yoda in a sense. But, you know, he lets Grogu choose his path. And I loved that. And I mean, that was such a cool scene with Yoda's lightsaber and the little chainmail thing. And he gives him this ultimatum. Yeah. And I love the way Grogu looks up at him like, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe you're giving me a chance to go back with my dad, kind of.
Yeah, I think as well, just even thinking about the choice and thinking about the whole emotional aspect.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's not something that we would tend to do, but try and put yourself in the shoes of Luke Skywalker, who's building up his Jedi temple. And you're probably thinking in your head, like, oh, I really want to do this. I really want to build up the order again.
Yep.
Only for your first student to not be all in.
Right.
You know, and he's actually took a backseat there and he's thought, this is okay. Like, this is okay. This is what I want to teach. This is how I want to be. I want to give that choice. And
while
I do want to grow my Jedi Order and I do want to have like peacekeepers out there, if Grogu isn't like all in for this, that's okay. Like, he's not being like, he's not shunning him or anything like that or being angry at him or anything like that. He's just like, the choice is yours on what you want to be. And as Ahsoka said, Din said to Ahsoka, well, I don't see why basically you're not, why you're happy enough to let Luke train him when you didn't want to. And Ahsoka said, because it's his choice.
Right.
I do not affect the choices of others. And here we see it reversed where it looks like it's Grogu's choice and I do not affect that choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that just came to me there, how they just spin that in that episode there.
It's just so Jedi. And like, it really just, it reinforces, I mean, I've always felt Luke is, you know, in a sense, the truest form of a Jedi that goes back to the way Qui-Gon would have done it, in a sense of, you know, like that choice and that, you know, not conforming to just your one view of things. You know, you have to understand other people's views and other people's desires and wants to get where you want to go, and also, you know, build what you want to build. And I mean, it's just so Jedi, and I really think they nailed Luke in this. I really, like you said, I didn't have any complaints, and I hope we see another like Grogu and Luke run in though. I really hope we get to see some sort of like little adventure or mission that they run into each other or something like that.
I think as well, staying at the top of the tree, and
that was beautiful.
No, sorry, it is. Yes, you have the scene at the top of the tree, but there's a scene, I can't remember where it takes place, but he basically just says to him, I'm going to help you be able to defend or protect yourself, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, that's interesting. He's not saying, I'm going to help you protect other people or fight against bad guys, but it's just yourself.
Right.
So his first instance isn't this of, I'm going to train you so you can go to battle.
Right.
And you can do this. It's cool. I'm going to train you so you can protect yourself. And what you do with that is basically, again, your choice. All of it, this whole episode is just based on choice. And those characters from then not walking up to Grogu, from Grogu making that decision, and then from even Luke giving them the decision to make, it's all based on choice. None of them are locked in, which is funny because for Din's creed, it's very a locked in thing. He doesn't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
For the Jedi, it used to just be, you don't have a choice.
Yep.
Whereas here we're saying, no, these individual characters do have a choice, and they do break the molds of their traditions of where they're coming from.
Yeah.
And also what they're trying to start anew, basically.
Dude, the deeper and deeper we get into this, the more genius I actually think the writing of this show actually was with those.
Yeah, I didn't even think so myself.
That even goes back to what we're talking about with Boba and the honor part of that group and their choices that they make. You know, they do choose to do certain bad things, but at the end of the day, they realize, well, maybe I was sort of like being forced into that by a certain aspect, and Boba is giving me this opportunity to not do that anymore. And then they choose to not do that anymore, which makes them an honorable character. And there is just this giant theme of choice and all these characters having been in a point where they weren't allowed to make a choice. And now they are at this point and giving that opportunity to others. So that's just, I mean, that's pretty genius. As
you were saying that, like literally saying that, you know, these characters before were maybe in situations where they didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
Din and his creed, and have, like, he didn't feel like he had a choice but to return Grogu because he was told to by the Armorer, who is clearly, you'd say, his big boss.
Right.
And then you have Ahsoka, didn't feel like she had a choice much but to leave the Jedi Order.
Right.
You have Luke, who maybe in a sense doesn't feel like he has much of a choice but to do a new Jedi Order.
Right.
He's chosen how to do it. And it's the same with Boba and I and how he's going about conducting his business.
Exactly.
And stuff like that. And whereas all these characters, but this is where it comes into the real world. This is where Star Wars affects your everyday people and our everyday lives, because it's the morals it's telling us about. It's not a situation. Good. It's the choice that we take from the situation. It's never a situation that typically affects us. It's actually our choice in that situation, what we do, which is actually what will affect us going forward.
Yeah, dude, 100%. I mean, and Star Wars my entire life has always taught me so much and, you know, guided me with its lessons and everything. And just the fact that I feel like the internet doesn't go that deep, you know, the internet doesn't sit here and have a conversation like we are. And even to the point of, until you have a conversation like this, you might not understand it. Like, even these points that we're bringing up are points that I'm like, wow, this is like, I didn't even think of this before. And dude, Star Wars is still telling those deep, deep lessons, and even subliminal, it might be subliminally, like, these lessons are ones that if you listen to and you sort of abide by, I mean, you'll have a moral code just based on watching Star Wars in a sense, which is really awesome. Like, I mean, Luke always taught me to see the good in everybody, you know, even if they are bad, and you can acknowledge their bad qualities like Luke did and with Vader, but you can still try and save them and still try and help them and still bring back the good in them. And that was a lesson that, I mean, I think really is a staple in my life, but these lessons of honor and, you know, making the right choice in any situation, I'm gonna hold on to that. So
it's the same as now we're actually gonna talk about Boba Fett, this guy who has clearly made mistakes. He's clearly worked for some bad people.
Exactly.
But that doesn't mean he can't do good now.
So basically,
what it's telling us is, yes, you may have done stuff in your past and you may have hurt people. They may not forgive you or whatever, but you can make a difference now to the lives around you now, because you're not stuck in this past, but it's the present and what you're doing now and how you conduct yourself now. And we see this change of, you see the complete opposite characters in Boba and Fennec. Fennec's like, you want me to kill him? I'll kill him. If you want me to kill him. Boba's like, no, calm down. Not yet. And I think we'll maybe see a change in Fennec as well.
I agree. In
their content, because it's not like, it's valuing the life that's in front of him. And he's like, no, I don't always want to do it this way. I used to do it that way.
Right.
And look where it got me.
Mm-hmm.
It got me nowhere. All I had was credits, but I had nothing. And then this is maybe like, he then has a family feeling with the Tuskens, and he goes back and he starts to rule. And yes, he's probably thinking now, okay, maybe I'm not cut for this life as much as I thought I was. But that's also because of how he's lived his past life. And it's not saying there's anything wrong with that. I don't think he's going to go back to that way, though. I think, you know, in a sense of, he's still going to do good, just in a different way.
Right.
That does suit him and this new team that he has because of that. So the whole idea of your past is going to continue to affect you. And like we were talking about choice there, it's a choice just to be different on one given day.
Right.
It took him some time over being with the Tuskens and understanding what it meant to be a part of a tribe again. For him to basically want this own sense of worth in his own tribe, and essentially people to look after.
Yeah.
Like, you have somebody in power, and that's what this is. All these different characters in this one episode, all of them are powerful characters.
Yeah.
I mean, going from just the bottom of like even Cobb Vanth up to Luke Skywalker, but they're all powerful and they're all part of the same story in essence. And they all have this power to be able to help all those around them, to protect them. They have that sense of doing it. And that's what Boba is actually doing now. He's using this power that he has to actually help. And in a sense, that's his character development.
Yeah.
From what we knew, where he was only using it to collect bounties.
Exactly. I mean, we just see so much growth. And I mean, I think sort of, you know, we talked about the episode, or at the beginning of this episode, you know, the series does go back and forth, but we really do see, you know, towards the end, a culmination of everything, and these views between all these characters are lining up. And I think the series stops short and we don't get to see everybody cross paths in a sense with Luke and Ahsoka. Like, they're sort of a side story, but eventually I feel like we're going to see all this come together. And, you know, all these sort of ideals that they're all on the same page, Luke and Boba are starting similarly, like on the same side in a way. Like, Luke probably wants to, Luke would probably want Tatooine to be okay. Right. So there's going to be some sort of like connection there, you know?
That's what I was going to say. It's, you have this character, Boba, and you have Luke. And I don't mean this that they're the same, but
they're the same at this stage.
Like,
Luke and Han sent Boba into the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah, and now you have these characters who, like, they're not the same. They're not the same. But this time, in terms of, like, wanting to do good, they're the same.
Yeah.
Luke wants to do good his way. Boba wants to do good his way. And they are both doing good.
Yeah.
And you're like, how can you put Boba Fett in the same sentence as Luke Skywalker? Because of this show. Because of what this show has gave us for Boba Fett.
100%.
I know I can say, you know, so that some of the episodes were slow and I would have liked more of this and more of that.
Yeah.
The show, in essence, it worked for what I wanted to do. And I am glad that we got it, because we now have a character. We don't have a guy behind a mask. We actually have a character now. So we have somebody who we can relate to, and that's what Star Wars is about.
Yes.
It's about relating to this character, even as much as Darth Maul. And you're like, how can you relate to such a guy? And you're like, someone who's just been, well, it's the whole Greek philosopher thing, isn't it? Of
rolling the stone up the hill. Yeah.
And constantly. And why is that? Because he just wants revenge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's telling us, that we should not want a life like that where we want revenge on people because you always fall short.
Yeah.
So you do basically. And now we have this character in Bother where you're saying, oh, that's a cool guy. But if people stopped and asked themselves a question of why is he like this now? But what's the meaning of it?
Right.
Because Star Wars has meaning everywhere. And I know, like, as you say, people on the internet don't typically get into it too deep.
Yeah.
But that's where you get the conversation. That's where you get the meaning. And that's where you get the appreciation.
Yeah.
More so rather than just thinking, oh, cool, character just showed up, like, happy of that. Why?
Yeah.
What do the characters, what purpose does Luke Skywalker serve in episode 6 of the Book of Boba Fett?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Exactly.
I'm not sitting there looking at Boba Fett like he's a bad character anymore.
Right. I'm conflicted now when there's posters of Boba Fett on the dark side. And I'm like, well, he's not a bad guy anymore. He's a good guy. And yeah, dude, I mean, like you said, there's meaning in every little point of Star Wars. And, you know, people don't get this deep, but this is how far the story creators get. And they really get into the motivations of these characters. And I really felt that with the sequels, with people would watch it once, twice, maybe, and they've never watched it again. And
yeah,
that was sort of my, you know, I had issues with all of them at first. You know, The Force Awakens actually was probably the one where out of the theater, I was like, whoa, that was awesome. Like, but then The Force Awakens is actually my least favorite of the three now. Whereas The Last Jedi, I kind of came out of like the theater going like, well, what was that? Like, that was weird. Like, but then watching it over and over again, I start to realize why they did it like that and why he wrote Luke like that. It's one of my favorite Star Wars movies now because I just got so deep into the why they did it, you know?
Yeah. And I don't want to go off on a tangent.
Yeah.
Sequels, but as we're talking about Luke, I would like to say that, you know, because we're talking about Luke in this period of the Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Luke in the sequels, to me, why, when people are like, that's not Luke, why would he do that? And I'm like, this is a man, not a god. Yep. He is a man.
Yep.
A very powerful man, the most powerful man in the whole galaxy at that time.
Yeah.
But he's a man with emotions. He looks in the Ben's mind for a split second, just sees that everything crumbles. Everything that he has fought for, his father dying, everything that he has went through, and also the fact that his sister has entrusted him with her son. And he thought at that point, everything was going to be lost. Everything was going to be lost.
Because of Ben.
And he made a mistake. For 1 second, but that's the whole point. That 1 second mistake changed everything. Ben
everything.
Is right when he said, like, Luke made that choice for Ben.
Right.
That was the mistake. And that is why Luke went in the exile, because Luke realized it was, in essence,
his fault. Yeah.
That the Jedi Temple burnt down, the students got killed, and Ben turned into Kylo.
Yeah.
And as a man, is he meant to just, like, not have this guilt and shame? This is his nephew, so it is. Yeah. And he did this, and he was entrusted with these other students
who got killed. Yeah. Like,
yeah. This is a man. And as we say, yes, like at the part of the Book of Boba Fett, his emotions are under control. But this stage, it would make sense to be a bit scared that everything's about to be lost.
You know, he probably doesn't have much support, it seems like, either. Like, it seems like he's sort of like, at least from the point of view that we've had from comics and like the sequels, sort of seems like he's like on his own doing this Jedi Academy. So,
yeah. And you have just these characters every now and again, like we'll have the book come out with Lando.
Mm-hmm.
So we do, and the other stuff. And then obviously you have Ahsoka there, but he says to Ahsoka, am I going to see you again? And she's like, perhaps. And we're like, awesome. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Like, where does that leave us?
Yeah. No, 100%. We could probably do a whole episode. I think we have a similar view of the sequels. Probably do a whole episode on that. But one thing we didn't cover about this episode of Boba was Cobb Vanth versus Cad Bane. And I mean, I don't even know, man.
But you knew straight away. You knew straight away. Just seeing him walking up and you're like, that's Cad Bane.
Yeah.
Like, that is Cad Bane. And that, my reaction was literally, I was sitting here and I must have said it about 20 times. until it came onto the screen. I was like, that's Cad Bane. It's Cad Bane. It has to be Cad Bane. And then when he, and like, I could see the blue. It was only when he looked up and I was like, it's Cad Bane. Like, I can't believe that. Like, I can believe Luke being in the series. I can believe Ahsoka and everything else. But pulling off Cad Bane after we've had zero content since Night, well, the Bad Batch, but that takes place right after the Clone Wars. We've had zero
content like, with Cad Bane. It's like the Clone Wars, yeah.
Yeah, and now you bring him here. And for his species, the Juros, he is old. Like he's very, very old.
Yeah.
And yet he's still arguably apparently one of the fastest gunslingers out there. And I'm like, I'm not surprised by that. Like,
exactly.
I think that's a plot hole or anything. I was like, I'm not surprised by that. But I was like, and then raises all the other questions of, where has he been?
Yeah, what's he been doing? Yeah.
Well, never mind the fact of, did he just walk the whole desert?
He definitely did that for dramatic effect. He boosted it. He uses rocket boosters all the way over there. And it's like, I'm going to walk up like a badass. Yeah.
And it just, as we're talking about Cole Vamp, and he immediately knew trouble. Yeah. So then he's like, look, go in. And you just knew the deputy. And you're like, when you seen the deputy and how he was handling Den when he first came in, he's like, I don't think you heard me. And you're like, this guy is a bit rash. So he doesn't really give a second. And it would be interesting to have seen what would have happened had Cole not looked over to prop, because I think he was looking over to warn him, being like, don't do
stop
that.
Stop doing that, yeah.
And Cad Bane was waiting for Cobb to look.
To give him a signal,
Yeah, and I'm like, I thought it was perfect.
Oh, dude, that scene is so good. That scene's so good.
Like, that is what Cad Bane is made for. And Cobb Vanth, those two characters in that scene was perfect. And I'm glad that we didn't have that particular scene with, like, that wasn't an end scene for Boba and Cad Bane.
Right.
It would have just been the same as what we've seen, but to have that, and you're like, yes, it was a great introduction to Cad Bane. Don't get me wrong, I would have loved to see him before, but it was a great.
It was. Like you said, looking back, you know, I do wish Cad was in there just to form that little rivalry a little bit more, but that entrance was so epic and so just, it stops being Star Wars at that point. It becomes this Clint Eastwood, you know, Western movie. And I mean, come on, the way his hat, you know, he looks up from his hat. And personally, I thought he looked amazing. And I liked this version of Cad Bane more than any other version so far. I mean, I liked Cad Bane before, but characters in animation just, they can't stack up against a live action, you know, interpretation to me at least. And I was getting like, yes, like Cad Bane is here. Like, and I've never gotten like that with him before. And he looked so cool.
That's what I was going to ask you. How did you think he looked? I thought he looked great. Don't get me wrong. There's like cinematic captures did a couple of wee things. I thought it looked amazing as well, if that is. But I mean, it is funny how a lot of criticism for a lot of this stuff came from how they were transitioned into live action. I'm like, what? I'm like, that's crazy. I'm like, I always do the comparison posts. Someone comes in the live action. I always compare it with, I just think it looks cool. I just have it beside it.
And exactly.
Like, he just looks great. He looks great. Like, you have to understand how they make these characters. Like, they need to move. They need to speak.
There's practicality to it, for sure.
Yes. And the eyes were so piercing. And the way Cobb Vanth looked at him. So when Cad Bane, he raised his head, and then Cobb's face, if you watch the scene back,
shit.
Yeah, it's almost like, does he know him, or does he just know he's trouble?
Yeah, I think he knows that he's trouble. Yeah.
And I'm like, he knows, like, he's not in a good situation here, because Cobb's a very confident guy. We see it.
Yeah.
Look at the start of the episode, four pikes, and he's like, just think about it. But he does not say that to Cad Bane. He doesn't go, just think about it. It's just more, I didn't get your name. I didn't get any of this. And he looks up and he's like, ha, yeah, this is trouble, but the four pikes weren't. Like, this is the start of the episode.
That's such a good point. Wow, that is such a good point.
Like, he's confident in the end. I'm not saying he's not confident, but he knows the problem. Not even to the degree where he tells his deputy, go inside, and his deputy looks at him. He doesn't say it again, no. He kind of just accepts the fact that he's like, he can't argue, he can't waste time. And And then when his deputy makes that remark of he's not for sale, and he just looks at him with disgust, like, why would you
shut up, like, dude? I'm trying to handle this. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
oh, that is so good, man. I didn't even think about the beginning to the end of how he deals with four Pikes versus Cad Bane. Oh my gosh, that is so good. And yeah, the subtleties of, I mean, Timothy Oliphant is Cobb Vanth, the actor. He's so good.
He was brilliant. So he was.
The subtleties, like you were just saying, of the way his face looked all of a sudden, and this confidence goes away completely because he knows he's in trouble. And like you said, I don't think he knows Cad Bane whatsoever, but he can just tell by the look of this guy. I mean, he just walked 3 miles across the desert to get here. He's not here for a fun time, you know? So.
Yeah, and even the fact that Cad Bane literally said to him, you should have kept the armor.
Yeah.
He's sitting there thinking, this guy knows me.
Yeah.
Like this, the Pikes didn't know about him.
Yeah.
But this guy knows. How come four Pikes in territory who would know all the other families in the area or the leaders' authorities, but they don't know Cobb Vanth?
Right.
But this one guy made a point to know who he was. And you're like, and
also in the past, too. So it's like, he. Cobb Vanth hasn't had the armor for a solid year now, maybe, like at that point.
Yeah, it's been a good time, yeah. So it has, like, you know, a good time.
So I mean, the Pikes haven't been around for that long. So Cad Bane saw him before and knew who, like, Cad Bane's keeping tabs on the powerful people, you know. So that is a really cool detail. Yeah.
And that's what we know from Cad Bane. And I think, at least from this, even when I see Cad Bane, I'm sitting there thinking, we're gonna get a lot more content with Cad Bane.
Yeah.
And as you were saying, like, we have these characters who we haven't got, obviously, in the originals. And I do think if 1, 2, 3 were made first, Star Wars would look really different.
Oh, yeah.
So it would. And people always say, like, you know, why do we always get most content between episode 3 and 4? And there's like a whole 19 years there.
Yeah.
The film. But I am sitting there thinking, what was Cad Bane doing? Like, you're talking about the most powerful bounty hunter at the time.
Yeah.
Would you say he got surpassed by Boba Fett at the end of the Clone Wars if he beat him in a duel? I mean, I'm not too sure straight away if I'm like, that means Boba's better. Boba was still a kid. But either way, he's top two at the time, but then he just suddenly disappears. Maybe the Bad Batch might show something there.
That's sort of, you know, what I was talking about earlier with, you know, things not in the original trilogy. You can't go back 40 years and change those movies, but why wasn't Cad Bane hired by the Empire with all those bounty hunters, you know, with Boba Fett and IG-88? And Cad Bane would have been there if he was one of the best ones. You know, they've got to have some explanation, though. He must have been hired by Jabba or something right then, you know?
I think that's where his explanation, where he says about Boba Fett being a cold-blooded killer for the Empire. As you say, I think he was trying to rally him on, and I also think he's trying to gaslight a bit. But I think it seems like there is a real disgust for the Empire there, possibly.
Yeah.
And as we know, they were against aliens.
Yeah.
True. And I'm sitting there thinking, but then with the rebellion of maybe tried to harm, and Cassian Andor is going to show us that the rebellion wasn't all great. And now I'm thinking about it, what's the chances of Cad Bane showing up in Cassian Andor?
That's actually true, dude. That is a good point. I would like to see Cad Bane get hired by the good guys, because he seems more evil than Boba Fett always did. You know, he seems like actually like he's a mean guy. Like, there are some moments in the Clone Wars where he kind of does have a little bit of like comedy, or like he's not like necessarily just being angry or evil, but like, I don't know, he has more of a like actual evil like mood to him than Boba does, in a sense.
Yeah, when he sees Obi-Wan and Quinlan Voss, mm-hmm. and he's like basically saying, like, can we not fight today? Like something just happened in front of all of them. They were all looking for something, and then they realized none of them got it. And he's like, he just went to walk away, and everyone's like, you're under arrest. Right, so we have to fight here. But I think it'd be good to see him in such a show like Cassian Andor, because it would show again that bounty hunters are bounty hunters.
Right. They do the job that they're hired,
Yeah, and like, I didn't even think of it before for Cassian Andor, but I know Cassian Andor is going to show us this gritty side of the rebellion that we know is there. And I think
where they have to hire some bad guys to come in and do some dirty work. Yeah.
And I know some people might not like it and they're like, this isn't what we know, but it's the truth. Like, it's how they get dirty work done, how you go up against the whole government organization. That's what the Empire is. It is the government organization.
Right.
Everywhere. And how you go up against that with completely just clean methods.
Right.
And we've seen now through the course of some content that, you know, it was a bit more dirtier than we had expected. But I think Cassian Andor is a good show. So is Kenobi.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like you said, I think there's going to be, you know, we're going to see that dark and dirty side of the rebellion. And I mean, like you said, it's the government and our, you know, we've got different governments. We're across the pond from each other, but you know, our governments do sketchy shit that, you know, they don't publicize. You know, there's propaganda that says we're the best and, you know, but like, especially, I mean, America, like 50 years ago, dude, they were doing some scummy stuff. Like, I mean, I don't even know what they were doing, but I just know it was bad. But I really would like to see Cad Bane be on the good side or be hired by the good side. It would be this interesting dynamic. So,
yeah, I think even now, just thinking about it as well, maybe in the case of if it was the Kenobi show, he could be hired to help find Kenobi and stuff like that. Yeah. So I don't think they've just brought in Cad Bane here to think we're going to have him for 2 episodes and that's it. It's the same with Ahsoka for her show. I think it'll be the same with Luke. We'll see him again. Same with Cobb Vanth.
Yep.
I don't think they're going to bring in, because they know how important Cad Bane is and what he brings in. Like, he's a main player, so he is, and people love the same and people want the same at the same time. So I do think if they're bringing him in there that late to show his death, they're going to go back and they're going to put him in other places to show what he was at least up to.
100%. Yeah, I totally agree. And I hope so. I really do. I think we're, like we said before, we're starting to see this culmination and them stop worrying so much about, you know, can we put this character here? Because, you know, people haven't seen this character in really long. What if they don't like it? Or it's like, this is the story and this is how it's going to make sense with all these characters. And we're just going to do it. So I really hope they just continue to go that way. But that we did talk about the Grogu decision, but we do see that we see Luke with Yoda's lightsaber, which was really cool. And what did you think about that? People, comic nerds, you know, we see Yoda's lightsaber get destroyed by the Empire in this grand fashion. They destroy all the Jedi lightsabers and after Order 66. What I mean, the explanation that I was getting, Yoda had 2 lightsabers, you know, so
yeah. Like, I am a comic nerd. Like, I have all the comics sitting there, and I admittedly I probably should have got the annuals instead of the single comics because I have no room, but I did remember it and I was like, wasn't his lightsaber destroyed?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure. So I looked it up, and obviously I do have a post on it as well where in the Age of Rebellion comic it just says he carries no lightsaber.
Yeah.
Although obviously it doesn't say that means he doesn't have one.
Yeah.
But as it came out on Twitter, one of the Star Wars writers had said that no, he has more than 1 lightsaber.
Yeah.
And I was like,
he's 900 years old. Yeah, he's 900 years old. And maybe he lost it. And Luke was on this journey to find artifacts about the Sith and the Jedi. Maybe he found it, you know, and it wasn't in Yoda's possession necessarily.
It could have been in a different temple. We know there was various Jedi temples, and just because we didn't see them in the prequels a lot of the time, I mean, you can just say, like, you would have definitely visited them during the High Republic era. That's a very prominent era of all the different temples elsewhere. There's nothing saying that Yoda didn't have a lightsaber in one of those temples for some reason, wherever it could have been lost in the temple or just even there as an artifact itself, because he was a grandmaster at the time or whatever. So I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, easily explainable. Like, people like to make a meal sometimes out of nothing. I'm like,
oh yeah.
No, like, he's ancient. Like, he's probably had more than a good couple of lightsabers.
Yeah, like Yoda, like, you know, we obviously see the story of Star Wars in the movies, you know, from, well, now with the High Republic, but, you know, the Phantom Menace is Star Wars, you know, to Rise of Skywalker. That's like one of Yoda's lifetimes. Yoda's lived like 9 other lifetimes. So, I mean, the dude's been around the galaxy, I'm sure, and lost lightsabers and lost canes. And, you know, so I had no problem with that whatsoever. I mean, like you said, people like to just turn everything into a clickbait conversation probably. But what did you think? Go ahead.
I was going to say, no, I thought it was just really cool in the sense of like, it matches Grogu, like whatever lightsaber you're
getting. Yeah.
Are you going to have him just construct his own? I mean, he would have eventually.
Right.
But that's point in time in training. And we've seen before, like Luke's very used to having lightsabers handed down.
Given to him,
so yes. So he is before he made his own, before he was ready. And he's like, but he's also saying like, if you do want to stay, this is how much, like, I, basically it's, not that I'm, this is how much it means, basically.
Right.
That I don't sit there and think you're any less worthy or anything like that because you're less powerful or because you're basically a baby. It's like, no, I will give you this Grandmaster's lightsaber and I will train you with it, because the lightsaber itself, he's not attached to it in that sense. He's not being like, this, no, you're not ready for it yet.
Right.
Which is weird because Rey in the sequels gives back the lightsaber to Leia and says,
yeah, I'm not ready. Like, yeah.
I'm not ready yet. But looks like the lightsaber basically, he's almost like, it doesn't signify
that he's it's not the key to being like a Jedi at all, you know.
And he's like, just basically like, oh, well, I'll give you it if you stay, like, this will be your weapon. But I think at the same time though, it's also like, look at this can be yours, this toy thing, like, this can be yours if you stay. And I think it kind of did force his hand when he had the other thing. He's like, I can give you this from your Mandalorian dad, or you can just stay with me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I think that if for at least the plot as well, they did have to give that choice there. So they did.
Man, as much as I love that Grogu goes back with Mando, and I want to see Grogu with a lightsaber so bad, and to see like Luke and Grogu as master and Padawan duo. But
I think it would have been amazing. And we talk about fan service, but that episode didn't really touch on it because it honestly could have had an Ahsoka and Luke training scene. So it could have,
right?
It could have had Din Djarin with the darksaber, and Ahsoka being like, "Hold on a second, I know that. Can I see it?" Or Ahsoka holding the darksaber, or even Luke interacting there and all. Yeah. And I'm just thinking of all these things that we could have seen in that episode, and I think Grogu will probably end up using a darksaber, at some point.
Yeah,
but I knew that he wasn't going to be able to stay with Luke, because they're not going to kill him off in the sequels, just behind the scenes. They weren't going to do that, but I didn't expect it to be so early.
Oh, Ben Solo killed Grogu. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think that he would go away and then, technically speaking, 2 episodes later, come back.
Right.
And I'm like, but what that is doing is, it means you have to watch the shows.
Yeah.
It means you can't sit there and skip out in this show and then watch season 3 of The Mandalorian.
Right.
And as we were saying, the Book of Boba Fett and The Mandalorian, yes, can be watched by your casual audiences.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to actually enjoy it, you have to watch the animated shows. Like you have to. And I was, funny enough, I was saying this to my girlfriend, and I was like, oh, I would love you to watch all the shows with me. And we watched all the movies, and we were going through the Clone Wars. I've watched the Clone Wars that many times now. But I was like, by watching The Mandalorian, but I was like, for you to properly enjoy it, you have to watch the Clone Wars. You have to know the character. You have to know Ahsoka Tano.
Yeah.
Or else you're not going to be like, and you have to know your Bo-Katan and stuff. And I'm like, other people who are just watching it, your general audience, I'm like, they are missing out on
They're missing so much.
They're seeing these cool characters, but see that impact of what we're saying? You're jumping up in your seat and you're like, that's so-and-so. Like, I can't believe it. Or they're actually, those two are together right now and all. And I'm like, that's the kid feeling inside of us that keeps us continually striving for the Star Wars content to keep coming out, and which also makes us make our own content, and which is why we have our pages as well.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And I mean, it's essential to watch the shows. I mean, the animated shows are huge. I mean, the Clone Wars especially, it's a huge part of the lore of what happens after that point, you know. And they're just essential, and you are missing out. So I feel bad when people don't have that, but it is a lot, you know, 7 seasons of the Clone Wars and 4 seasons of Rebels and everything, you know, it's a lot of content to be able to just sit there and watch. But
the way I look at it is they're lucky they get to watch it for the first time, because I'd like that feeling again. So I you get to watch it for the first time. But
yeah,
like I said, there's a lot. And when you're our age and you're working full time and stuff, it's difficult to get all the time in.
Exactly. But there is also this cool aspect to where we've experienced Star Wars in a certain way, right? Like, you know, I watched the original trilogy first, then prequels and then sequels and Clone Wars, right? Yep. Other people, they're being introduced to the sequels sort of, and then they get to go back and watch the Clone Wars or the originals. And like those same things are sort of clicking just in a different way. Now, when they go back and watch the Clone Wars, they're going to be like, oh my God, that's Bo-Katan from Mandalorian, you know? And
yes, it's just
going to work inversely in which they're doing it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Star Wars is just so cool like that, where you can jump around and there's these little tidbits from, you know, Return of the Jedi. You're going to see something from that movie, but also you're going to see something from Attack of the Clones in the same scene, in a sense. Like, and if you either know that and you're a, you know, super fan sort of, and as you watch the new content, you recognize that, or when you go back and watch Attack of the Clones, you're like, oh my gosh, I saw that before, you know? So
my content, you can see, I love doing the comparison of this scene. And then that scene here, I love doing that, just seeing how they've incorporated that in, or appearance wise is and stuff, or same, like season 1 to season 7 type thing. That's one of my most enjoyable things. But as you're saying, sometimes, you know, for even a general audience, it takes a couple of times to notice what's actually going on, and being like,
right,
is that this character from that show, or who is this? Or I thought he was dead. And, you know, I've had to explain to my girlfriend about Maul, which was a very fun one, so it was, and he gets cut in half, and I'm like, nah, he's okay. he's okay. You'll see.
He's okay. Don't worry.
Because we watched the movies first before we watched the Clone Wars. Yeah. So when it came to Solo, it was like, there's Maul again. And I'm like, what's the Clone Wars? We're gonna end it. He's okay. Half of him, he's okay. He made it, don't worry. But that's the sense. You've seen all the reviews, some of the reviews come out when Solo came out, and they're like, oh, these guys know nothing about Star Wars. Darth Maul's dead and stuff like that. Yeah. Like, oh,
some you're people actually the one who doesn't know anything.
Yeah, some people haven't watched TV shows, but I do love that. I love that about what episode six itself, what it does is literally says, we want you to watch the other content. We want you to understand it. So we're doing, even talking about Battlefront 2, that campaign, just that wee bit of look is what I compare most to this look.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's all these wee bits that we get as like these super fans, that we get to enjoy to the fullest.
So they're good. Not,
they are catering to us all. Like, it's not just a case of just the super fans. Like, they are making the story easy to follow along for those there. Like I say, they're not sitting there in that episode 6 and being like, okay, we're going to sit here and throw in Ahsoka talking about Anakin to Luke just out of the blue, out of nowhere. No, it's just the story continuing on from where I left off previously, if that makes sense.
Exactly. No, I think the main overall message is watch Star Wars, watch it all, and like it will pay off. Like, people don't realize how much it does pay off to know and be a nerd about it. Like, because I mean, I have the same sort of deal with, you know, like Marvel, in a sense. Like, I love Marvel, and I really know a lot about those 22 movies of that MCU or whatever, but I'm not an absolute nerd into where I notice all the Easter eggs and everything. And then when I do learn about the Easter eggs, I'm like, oh, that's so awesome. So I can just imagine watching Star Wars and not knowing all those Easter eggs. How much is just going past you that we're like, we love these little details. And so just, if you're listening and you haven't watched Clone Wars, you haven't watched Rebels, you don't have to watch Resistance. No, I'm just kidding. But
they actually don't. That hasn't really.
Yeah, I know. You really don't. But watch Clone Wars, watch Rebels. And I mean, your idea and perspective of Star Wars will completely change.
Because those are the two main shows, and your likes of the Bad Batch are branches off. So the likes of the Clone Wars is going to make you want to watch the Bad Batch. But Clone Wars and Rebels really are your two core animated ones, and arguably they're better than anything else out there as well. It's not just movies for me.
Yeah, they definitely are up there, man. And they're top tier Star Wars for sure. Well, Jordan, I mean, we've gone on for quite some time. I seriously appreciate you being on. We covered so much and got so deep into that episode. I think this has been like the deepest we've got into an episode in this series so far. So I really appreciate that. And I really hope that, you know, I can have you on again. And so we can talk maybe the sequels or something like that.
Definitely.
I really enjoyed it. And thank you for being on, man.
No, thank you for having me on.
Yeah.
And for allowing me to pick that episode.
of course, man. I'm so glad that I got to do this episode with you, because maybe somebody else would have had a different viewpoint and we wouldn't have got so deep. So I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Like I say, I'm just grateful that you're more than kind to have me on and sit there and talk all the way through and stuff and listen to my points as well as going back and forth and even stretching out and listening to me talk about things that weren't directly related.
That's the point. We, as Star Wars fans, I mean, we could literally probably sit here all day long and talk about it, but you know, we've got to stop recording at some point. But nah, man, we'll definitely have to do this again and talk about some other stuff that's, you know, we have that sort of similar viewpoint on. And yeah, go check out Jordan's stuff, Star Wars Parody 501, correct? _501 Okay. On Instagram, you've got your backup pages there, but he's got great content, and you guys have obviously heard he's a great guy. So, Jordan, thank you again, man.
Thank you, Brody. And again, just for any of my followers, come over officially Star Wars, which, to be honest, most of our followers are probably
I'm sure. Well, thank you guys for listening. This was a great episode, and I am excited to finish the series off next week with episode 7, the finale. Go check out the Instagram. Obviously, that's officially Star Wars, officially Simple Man. If you'd like to watch this on YouTube, this is also on YouTube on Brody1 Kenobi. That's my YouTube channel. So, yeah, thanks again, Jordan, and we'll see you next week. Oh, shit. I got it.